Sam, good morning.
Morning, Sean.
Thanks very much for joining us on the program this morning. This shift away from, by the United Nations, from considering transgenderism, gender incongruence, a mental illness, just how significant is this one?
It's very significant. Look, the World Health Organization is who we're talking about, and the WHO is basically the world's doctor, and this diagnostic manual we're talking about, ICD, the International Classification of Diseases, is really the world's diagnostic manual. So this move is very significant. I think you used the word legal, it becoming legal later on. Of course, we're not talking about a law here. We're talking about a diagnostic manual. So this is really a document that that already has, I mean, ICD-10, the current version, already has a tremendously high usage around the world. And ICD-11 will be widely used also. We can expect that. So it's very significant, but it's significant not as a law, of course, but as a diagnostic manual.
How has the stigma of calling transgenderism a mental illness actually impacted the transgender community?
Massively, and for many years. And the sadness is that the belief that transgender people experience and they suffer a mental disorder is a bit of a historical artifact. It dates from the days many decades ago, actually, when medical science first realized that there were people around who we now call transgender. The only place that the medical world could think of putting such people was in a section called sexual deviation. It's the only place that people could diagnostically, I mean. And, you know, that says much more about the attitudes that have played transgender people worldwide for all of these years. So, you know, again, that's why this step is so very important. And I want to say this means a lot to me because I was a member of the WHO working group that actually 6 years ago, this week in Geneva, were putting together the final details of this proposal and others that have actually all been accepted and have gone into the finalized version of ICD that was announced this week. So, you know, I'm really very, very pleased.
That is tremendous news, Sam. I mean, when you were putting this kind of report together, this kind of proposal together, did you experience pushback from other sort of established, established people, established organizations?
There was a bit of pushback, but not as much as we perhaps feared. Perhaps we underestimated just how many people, not just in the transgender community globally, but also researchers, scholars, clinicians, were really on the same page. I do remember a review of our proposals came out of Russia, actually, in late 2012, that was particularly oppositional, shall we say. The line was so much that, no, these people actually suffer from a mental disorder. But there wasn't much of that. The real problem was, the real issue was whether we would actually get a chapter exclusively concerned with sexual health into ICD-11, and we have, and indeed that is the chapter that the diagnoses will now go into. Remember, many transgender people do have a very serious medical need for gender-affirming healthcare. Not all, but many, and for hormones, and for surgery. And so it really is important for there to be a diagnosis somewhere in most healthcare systems worldwide. Any substantial and ongoing healthcare only comes by way of a diagnosis. So it was important to have a diagnosis there, but not in the mental and behavioral disorders chapter. So actually, in ICD-11, the diagnoses renamed and re-described, diagnoses called gender incongruence rather than transsexualism and gender identity disorder of childhood. These gender incongruence diagnoses will go into that chapter called conditions related to sexual health, which is a much, much better place for them to be.
Mm. And just finally there, you did touch on it, but really what I wanted to ask you, Sam, this change, as you say, it's being used in this terrific diagnostic tool. This change will make the kind of services that transgenderism people need and the kind of protections that that certain individuals might require. So those medical procedures like gender correction and hormones and the like, it will make it more practically available, do you believe, than it has been previously?
I think it will help. Look, I think the stigma of being regarded inappropriately as mentally disordered does actually, on a worldwide basis, stop a lot of transgender people who would like to seek gender-affirming healthcare from actually seeking it. They just don't seek the healthcare that they actually would benefit from. So I think it'll improve access. And I think also the fact that it's not a mental disorder anymore will mean that perhaps the primacy of psychologists and psychiatrists in the provision of gender-affirming healthcare will perhaps be reduced somewhat, so that it becomes, a condition that's dealt with as a general health condition. That is, transgender people seeking healthcare as soon as experiencing a general health condition.
Well, Sam, greatly appreciate your time. Obviously, this is in some incredibly important work that has been done. Really appreciate you joining us, having a chat with us about this one.
Well, it's a pleasure. There's one other thing I'd like to mention very briefly.
Absolutely.
One other change is that those residual diagnoses that have been stuck there in ICD-10 for a quarter century now are, after the removal of homosexuality, those diagnoses that still pathologize same-sex attraction, diagnoses that very few people actually know about, but they're in there, they've been removed too.
That is excellent. Very glad you could come on this morning to discuss this one. As I say, a terrific, very positive move. Really do appreciate your time.
Oh, Sean, it's a pleasure talking to you.